Oh, yeah. Hour number two begins. 7:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got a special guest coming up, 8:35, State Senator Jay Collins. What's the deal with the budget in Tallahassee? Thought they'd hammer this thing out by now. Doesn't seem to be the case. We'll ask about that. If for whatever reason you miss that or any other great things we're doing on the show, other interviews, etc., you can always pick it up on the podcast. And you can download the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally do that. You know, Spotify, the Odyssey app, that works as well. Just click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. All right, so one of your top stories, drug costs are going to be lower, hopefully, for Americans. President Trump signed that. We shouldn't be paying any more than any other countries, and there's some countries that aren't paying much. And we're paying multiples of that. So hopefully, through executive order, that will be put into effect. Some say it can't be done. Some are calling it price controls. We'll see. There's a lot of things they say Trump can't do, and, well, he's been doing. We're so much closer to peace than ever before between Ukraine and Russia. Right now, the president is in Saudi Arabia, where things seem to be going very, very well there. Mm-hmm. We also had the release of the Hamas prisoner, American citizen and IDF fighter, Edan Alexander. What a horrendous time, apparently, he went through. So you've got all those things going on. And you've got a recent investigation revealing that Pax Global Technology, PAX, is a Chinese company and under federal investigation for suspicious data transmissions. Okay, that's bad enough, right? But wait, it has ownership links to Shay Fing, a Chinese financier closely connected to Hunter Biden.
What? The Chinese and a Biden? Come on.
I know.
Really?
It's another shocker.
Huh.
Earlier this month, Hunter Biden dropped his lawsuit against two IRS whistleblowers who alleged there had been a cover-up in the former president Biden's DOJ to block a tax fraud investigation into Hunter. However, the financial sector controversies that Hunter has incited, particularly with his business dealings in China, remain an ongoing topic of interest and allegedly extend far deeper than tax fraud.
Wonder how deep we could go there.
Well, apparently it's been learned that Pax Global Technology Limited, a Chinese technology company under federal investigation, and potential cyber attacks, is linked through ownership structures, and also that the company is still operating in the U.S., creating and managing the electronic payment terminals consumers used at thousands of U.S. businesses.
That's a little scary.
So, yeah, it is ongoing. But they were, I mean, it was all the way back in October of 2021, the FBI, Homeland Security, and Customs and Border Protection, all were in on this investigation. And they raided the U.S. headquarters of Pax Technology. And still, they're doing business in the U.S. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, why don't we just swipe all our cards and make sure the Chinese have all of our personal information and our access to our funds.
Or let's all do it at the same time.
An overload.
And all of a sudden, Beijing just melts down. It's like, okay, we got you.
We wish.
The DNC has taken steps toward removing gun control activist and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting survivor David Hogg as vice chairman. Yes, he's hogging up all the attention.
Well, he loves some microphone or a TV camera.
Yeah. On Monday, the Credentials Committee of the DNC voted 13-2 to void the election results from February, in which Hogg and Pennsylvania State Representative Malcolm Kenyatta were elected to serve as co-vice chairman of the DNC, according to the New York Times. The vote comes as Hogg is reportedly planning to spend up to $20 million to fund primary campaigns against incumbent Democrats.
Oh.
Yeah. So, they've They don't want them to fund the eating of their own, some would say. Also, you know, getting rid of hog, they can say, look, it's our own version of Doge. We're just trying to cut the pork. That really, I don't get anything for that?
That's what you get for that. That's it was wow. So obvious. But it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did we used to call it when, because I was trying to think of it while you were doing the story, because he was in the news so much, you know, right when he first came out and a little bit. I was trying to think what we called that. We had a name for it.
For him?
Yeah. Well, kind of like, you know, kind of like a, it wasn't a pork report, but something like that. I just don't remember what it was. That's been so long.
Yeah, he's one of them kind of mouthy young people that can get, well, he's getting under the skin of the people that he was hoping to be representative of at the DNC.
Are we surprised? Because he was just so, always been so irritating to us.
But yeah.
That's expected.
Hey, now for something really important.
Yes.
Sylvester Stallone and Richard Gere nearly came to blows. Yeah. They were going to brawl, basically, over Princess Diana.
What?
This is back in the day, obviously.
Well, yeah.
This was at a big party at Elton John's house.
Okay.
Now, this author, Edward White, of course, in a new book, shares the account, and the book is called Diana World, An Obsession.
Hmm.
And in it, he details how, you know, they're all at this party, and apparently Stallone walks in, and he's thinking, you know, he's the man.
Uh-huh.
And he is going to get, you know, some attention from Diana. Well, guess who's already chatting her up?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mr. Officer and gentleman, and I don't know if he had gentlemanly thoughts on his mind, but he was chatting her up.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Stallone was getting just really irritated. And as the night went on, I guess Stallone finally, I mean, basically, I guess, confronted him in some way. Quote, he then squared up to Richard Gere, and they had to be separated.
Oh, my goodness. That's
it
crazy.
It was these two alpha males squabbling over a woman who neither probably had a chance to be with, to be honest. And anyway, Elton John had shared, I guess, a very similar account back in his 2019 book, Me.
Wow.
And apparently, yeah, Gere and Diana were in deep conversation in front of the fireplace.
Aww.
And that, after the Stallone thing, caused the whole mood of the party to change
a little bit. Any idea what year that was? Does it say? And the only reason I ask is there's a great video of John Travolta dancing with the princess.
Okay.
Yeah, which is pretty cool because that's, you know, there's protocol, you know, all kinds of protocol for stuff like that of how you approach them, talk to them, touch them, all those kind of things. And so it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
And he is a good dancer. There's that.
Well, who would win the battle between Stallone and Richard Gere? Now, remember, Richard Gere, an officer and a gentleman, he did a pretty good fight scene. And he's, a couple years younger, 3 years younger, I think, than Stallone. Yeah. But Stallone, man.
I feel like Stallone's still tougher.
Well, and I think he might have had a little, you know, HGH help. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, inspiration. We'll call it inspiration. Oh,
7:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Yeah, sometimes a little blast from the past.
Yeah.
Make you chuckle. Now it's your turn. This is for anything really irritating you. We call it What's Bugging You? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Do not be one of those, but call in now. 877-975-9825. What's Bugging You is next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Craig Cassidy is here. It is 7:21. Time now for What's Bugging You? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Call in now. Air it out. Get it off your chest. Hopefully feel better. 877-975-9825. Good morning, Patty. What's bugging you?
Well, for one full week, by the way, love your show. Listen to you every time I'm near a radio.
Thank you.
And for one week, I get up at like 6:30. You're on my phone. I call in, or I don't call in. I type in the number because there was a contest. And every morning I sent my number in, to, the name of the weekly thing that we were going to win tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that every day. And I did it probably first. And I never heard who won. Did you announce it?
I listen
to you guys all the time.
Were these tickets for Rock the Country?
Yeah, that would have been the last one. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. It depends how quickly they get it back to us.
Yeah, because it's through text. Uh-oh. So, yeah, it's not like we're looking at it personally.
Oh, I knew that. But we'll tell whoever that, you know, we participated and we had fun and we want to know who won.
Yeah.
So that's it. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Patty.
And to the person who's in charge of that who's listening right now, that's what Patty wants. She's
he's not part of the team?
Well, he's part of the team.
Oh, but not the team.
Well, he's, you know. But I'm just saying if he's got the radio on at the moment, which we're sure he does.
Then get on it.
That's right.
I mean, get on it, sir.
You're bugging Patty, sir.
Pam, good morning. What's bugging you?
Good morning. So we've got the tariff deal with China has just come out. So maybe we can hurry up and get these ships that have blinker fluid from China to Alachua County.
Yeah, there's I've got a China oil story that I'll share with you, but quickly because Pam usually talks about the roads.
Yes.
Feel blessed with the roads we have. I was in the greater Philadelphia area.
Yeah.
Potholes the size of small swimming pools.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, and to jump on what she just said, so I'm going down 441, going like from Alachua, going through Gainesville, and there's a really nice Porsche SUV in front of me. I'm getting ready to make a right. I'm going to get into a right lane and make a right. It's kind of like they're just kind of riding the line, and then at the last minute, just like pull right out in front of me.
Mm.
I'm like, so I'm on the horn going, basically saying, hey, idiot. At which point they turned on the signal, made a right turn. Okay, good. I think they've figured out where the blinker fluid works. But then they're going to pull into the next parking lot. Do they use their turn signal? No, of course not. Come on, you got a $90,000 SUV and you can't use a turn signal? Come on.
Well, everything else operates by itself. Maybe they think that does too. Read my mind, I'm going to turn.
Mm-hmm.
AI will have that soon.
Yeah.
Big Mike, what's bugging you?
Good morning, my friends. I tell you what's bugging me this morning is our great president, Donald J. Trump, in the week he just had, and the news, you hear crickets out there. Nobody talking about the great things he's done. You know, the icing on the cake, the pharmaceutical cut and tariffs. I mean, if Joe Biden had done this, they'd be trying to carve his head on the side of the mountain in a four-year deal. And Donald Trump just knocking it out of the park every time I turn around. And just not getting the notoriety. And, you know, the only good thing I can say is hitting the pharmaceutical companies, maybe we will not have to see a commercial of some kind of medication every other commercial.
Huh.
So great job. Great job, Mr. President.
All right.
Hey, connected to that, Jake Fuller, you know, the comedian.
The genius that writes political cartoons.
Yes, he's got one showing a liberal with its hair on fire. And a couple of guys going, wow, looks like Trump had another great week.
Really appropriate. No, of course, Big Mike's absolutely right.
Yep.
They're never going to give him credit for anything. It's Trump derangement syndrome.
Yep.
877-975-9825. Call in now. Mark, what's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Greg. Hey, Greg, I think that phrase you were reaching for during Bob's David Hogg coverage is pork barrel spending. But what's bugging me is, as much as I love Marco Rubio and DeSantis, I think they're kind of not moving fast enough on reducing property taxes. At the very least, they should instill some kind of a California-style Proposition 13 2% limit while they work on eliminating them entirely, because I paid $5,200 last year, and it was very painful.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they, yeah, supposedly working on it. You've got to get, you know, in the Florida legislature, you got to get the House and the Senate to push it in. Right now, there's people in leadership positions that are not doing right by the governor.
No, not at all.
Good morning, Jen. What's bugging you?
Good morning. You know how sometimes you play a game on your phone and the ad pops up? Well, there was this new ad, and, you know, waiting for the little clock to tick down so I can hit the X. And it's about some type of mom thing, like, you know, all moms got to get together or whatever. And it's talking about the rise of fascism and how are we going to survive. Hmm. And it was an advertisement lead-in to New Lane University, which I was like, wow, so they're targeting this stuff to people who want to educate themselves, and it's all about fascism. But we have to educate ourselves to battle against it. It's just absolutely nuts and crazy. I hope you have a good day, guys. Bye.
You too. No, thank you. Jeff, good morning. What's bugging you?
Good. I would beat Adam Schiff with a shovel. Some Mexican or illegal immigrant, I'm sorry, woman attacked another illegal immigrant woman that was pregnant. The cops or ICE were there to arrest. And everybody in the street had their phones out trying to catch, you know, law enforcement doing something wrong when they're there to do something right. And Adam Schiff did a bit on it, and I could punch through his face. I hate him so much. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him.
Please don't hold back on how you really feel.
What's he trying to say, Bob? What's he?
I'm not sure. There's some level of dislike for a Shifty Schiff.
Probably bugged a little bit.
That's what I'm picking up on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
China buys Venezuelan oil, which is a no-no. Oh, but wait. How do they know? Because it said Brazil on the barrels. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming your way on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. I didn't read the oil. It said oil. I mean, you know. It was SA5-50 or something. I remember when oil, like, you wanted the thicker stuff. You know, and oil today, man, it's like water almost, so thin.
They're finally catching on. That's all. It was all based on government regulation, the whole CAFE, C-A-F-E, you know, fuel efficiency things, which is why they went to this stupid 0-20. And right now, GM's in the middle of a huge recall on their 6.2-liter motors because they were putting that garbage in them. And so some had some tolerances off, but now they're going to 0-40. What a coincidence. They're finally catching on.
I'd always put in an extra half a quart of 90 weight just to kind of balance it out.
I mean, we used 1040 for the weak stuff and 2050 for the thick stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Government.
I do have a story about oil.
Yeah, what you got?
Well, first of all, let me say that it is 7:36. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. You know, one of the tools we have geopolitically is to use sanctions, and they can be highly effective. People don't like to be sanctioned. They don't like to, and I'm talking about countries, they don't want to have to go somewhere to get their oil needs met. Maybe they can get a deal on some cheaper stuff because there's sanctions on it. Yep. Two tanker tracking firms, according to documents, and four traders revealed that independent Chinese refiners are purchasing oil shipments from countries that the U.S. has imposed sanctions on.
Really?
Like Venezuela.
Okay.
And Malaysia apparently serving as a key transshipment hub for Venezuela and Iranian crude, which is also subject to U.S. sanctions. Trump imposed sanctions on Venezuela state-owned oil company in 2019 in response to an extensive list of human rights violations committing by the Maduro regime. In 2023, former President Joe Biden temporarily lifted the oil sanctions, part of a six-month sanctions relief package exchange for vague promises toward holding a free and fair election. Okay. No such election, by the way, ever took place. Instead, Maduro launched a new brutal persecution campaign, proclaimed himself the winner of a fraudulent election, etc. So, yeah, in March, Trump announced that countries that purchased Venezuelan oil and gas would be subject to an additional 25% secondary tariff. China condemned the announcement at the time and demanded that the U.S. cease its interference in Venezuela. Reuters stated that its report, in July of 2024, traders began illicitly rebranding Venezuelan oil as being from Brazil, which allows tankers to ship it directly to China, skipping the Malaysian stopovers and shortening the trip by about 4 days. A trader who spoke to Reuters under condition of anonymity explained that in addition to shortening the trip, passing off the cargo as Brazilian helps them secure bank financing. So, yeah, what are you going to do about that? You know, how can you police this? Well, maybe furthering tariffs on countries that, you know, don't want to go along with these sanctions.
You break the rules. Break the rules, things happen.
And, you know, we're talking about a lot of oil. Yeah. But they know for sure that China bought over $1 billion worth of sanctioned Venezuelan oil labeled Brazilian.
Wow.
You'd have to be nuts to buy that Brazilian oil.
I try. See what you did there.
Look, in baseball,
yeah,
you're up 10 times, you get 3 hits, yeah, you're a superstar making millions.
Yeah.
Me, I get 3, you know, funny lines out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I get nothing.
Yeah.
Nada.
But you got a swing, right?
Just swing away, bro.
Got a swing.
All right. What else is going on? Well, the big story. President Trump signing an executive order to reduce drug prices in America to rates similar to what those in other nations pay. I'm just wondering how this is going to work out.
Hmm.
Are the pharmaceutical companies going to jack up the prices for other countries?
See, we're fair now.
Well, they may do that, but a lot of other countries, They'll say, hey, this is all we're going to pay. Take it or leave it.
Right.
Well, the pharmaceutical companies are already making huge profits here. If they make just even a tiny fraction, it's like free money. Okay. All right. Maybe they'll start saying no to those things. It'll raise the prices for possibly poorer people in poorer countries. Don't know. But what's Donald Trump supposed to do?
Well,
look out for us first.
Well, and he's doing a great job of that. I mean, you've got the whole concept, though, or the piece of that puzzle where, you know, through insurances and through what government agrees to pay and contracts and all that kind of thing, maybe that's where they can start a little bit of pressure. Go, no, we're not paying that.
Yeah. Well, right now, Trump is in Saudi Arabia, and they've given him the royal treatment. Mm-hmm. They already had their jets flying alongside as Air Force One was landing. And he's going to work on agreements with them. I believe that part of that will be a military deal where we're going to sell quite a bit of stuff to Saudi Arabia. And, yeah, I think that he is, you know, he's going to make friends. He's going to solidify relationships with those folks around the Middle East, because if the stuff does hit the fan when it comes to Iran, we're probably going to need, you know, all the help we can get.
Mm-hmm.
So the president obviously thinking about the deal ahead of the deal, ahead of the chess match, getting ready for it and putting his ducks in a row and maybe getting ready to get a free jet.
Yes.
You know, imagine, you know, you're a plane guy. He's got a plane with his name on it. Mm-hmm. He likes planes.
Sure he does.
And here he could get a new, virtually brand new plane for free.
Yeah.
And so that's hard. That'd be like someone's going to give me a motorcycle. I'm like, yeah.
And like a bigger, badder, nicer one than even you've got or had.
And someone says, oh, well, that wouldn't look good politically. I'd be like,
yeah, mind your own business.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
What I lock up in my garage is my own business. But Monday, CNN, one of the crybaby liberals, Jamie Raskin, said that Congress had to approve the $400 million jet from Qatar's royal family before President Donald Trump could receive it. So President Trump says this luxury jet, he's being questioned by Aaron Burnett, from Qatar royal family, the reported price tag, $400 million, is a, quote, gift free of charge. And they're pushing ahead. No pushback from the attorney general, who, of course, had formerly been paid up, reportedly up to $115,000 a month, to lobby for the country of Qatar. That's one of the jobs that Pam Bondi had in the interim.
Gotcha.
So are there any strings attached to this? Well, of course, there always could be.
Sure.
You don't know what the expectations are going to be. If I know Trump, if he takes it, he goes, he'll probably tell them and everybody else all at the same time. There's absolutely no side deal, no strings attached to this. Mm-hmm. This is a gift from one country to another. I'm not going to keep it personally. I'll give it to, Trump Library at the end of my term. And that'll be the end of that. But of course, there'll be those who are not happy about it. They'll fight it. Even Rand Paul said, yeah, I think it's a mistake. The Constitution, you know, I don't think that's good. Was there one Democrat, I think they said, they called it a grift.
Yeah.
A grift's like when you're going out and taking, you know, money from somebody and you're using, like, deception.
Right. This is pretty much out in the open for the whole world to see. It's hard to hide a big jet like that.
Well, and what happens if we actually solidify a better relationship with Qatar and they quit the terrorist business?
Mm-hmm.
What about that thought? 7:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. A lot more to talk about coming up. And special guest, State Senator Jay Collins at 8:35, 97.3 The Sky. Coming up at 8:35, we'll talk to State Senator Jay Collins. Seems like they're having a little struggle getting this budgetary thing done in the Florida legislature, which, you know, in recent years past anyway, it seems like things actually went pretty smoothly. I mean, you don't have a debt or a deficit per se.
Right.
You have to, according to the state constitution, live within the budget. And they put money away for rainy day fund. They reduced some taxes. And, you know, it seems like, you know, most were on the same page. But, yeah, there's this, I don't know how to say it other than kind of an anti-governor type thing with, like, the House leader and the Senate, Albritton and Perez in the House. They don't, doesn't seem, it seems like their agenda, and how far could their agenda differ from the governor's?
Right.
I hope they don't call themselves, like, you know, Trumpians or Trump supporters.
Right.
Because if they're not helping out the governor, they're not helping Trump, and they're not of the same mindset.
Well, it seems like you've got some, and maybe in the House, you're, like, you know, kind of on board with the whole looking ahead to, you know, property tax, or, you know, that kind of thing. But it seems like in the Senate, maybe they like that whole, you know, sales tax regulation difference and price point difference. So I don't know. The thing about with as a homeowner, obviously, I'd rather them address that. And I think the governor's point is, well, you know, the sales tax, a lot of that's going to be paid, you know, by people who are coming to the state and spending money. We do, too. But we also live here in our homes. Let's, you know, let's cut back on that real estate tax. So.
And I'd like to see if there's anything that can be done in terms of insurance. I've got to work on it myself, but, you know, I was in a hurry when they quoted me a price over the phone when I was buying, you know, my new Harley.
Yeah.
$2,400 a year.
Really?
Yeah, $200 a month.
Wow.
I mean, that's, you know, like another payment almost.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So, I mean, it's on me to shop it, and
sure.
I'm going to do that. And but, wow, felt like it went from 2,000 to 2,400.
Right.
And it was already too high. And but apparently a lot of that, the vast majority of that coverage is uninsured motorist, which
unfortunately
on a vehicle might not be as high, but a percentage-wise on a motorcycle, apparently it's very, very high.
Gotcha.
And it's because, I guess, you know, the nature of the beast. But that's a lot of money.
It is. I mean, that extra couple hundred bucks a month just for insurance?
Yeah.
On one vehicle?
Yeah, it's time to look at a lot of little things that could add up to something substantial at the end of the month, and but it's hard because, you know, as much as we have to focus while we're here and we get up early, it's really hard. Even though after I get a nap in, I could take care of business.
You just don't want to at that
point. No, I don't feel like it.
I know. I get it.
Chuck Todd, what's he up to? This is an op-ed piece, John Nolte for Breitbart. Chuck Todd basically admitted that reporters blindly believe their sources regarding Joe Biden's obvious mental frailty. This whole idea that Chuck Todd, like he's pointing and going, you people really, you were suckers. Oh, no. And Nolte points out, he says, look, this is a little over the top for three reasons. First, Todd contradicts what he said 10 days ago when he insisted without evidence that the regime media did report on Biden's diminished capacity. Why, just last month he was furious about the suggestion that the media didn't report on this. The media didn't miss this story. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Remember when Chuck Todd said that? They didn't miss the story.
Right.
Yeah. And David Ignatius wrote a very high-profile column October of 23 saying, is he really running again? This doesn't seem like a good idea. People like me were promoting Dean Phillips' campaign because Biden was running. Boy, things sure have changed since Todd spewed that anti-science nonsense.
Uh-huh.
And then listen to him today. Quote, the real culprits are the people who are supposed to be our sources on all these things, Todd admitted, adding, we were constantly... who were constantly reassuring us behind the scenes? No. It's better than you think.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really? Well, first of all, I thought they didn't miss the story. The media didn't miss the story.
Right.
Yeah. Todd is saying out loud what we all knew to be true. There's no journalism in the corporate media anymore. Those who claim to be reporters are nothing more than stenographers for their quote-unquote sources. And we all know who their sources are. They're pals in the White House. After all, who else could tell them Biden is okay other than those close to Biden? Right? So these activists, propagandists, they parrot like good little dogs. Yeah. Now, real reporters, they dig in and they dig and they double check and triple check. But that would require work above and beyond clinking glasses at a cocktail party. You'd also have to have the moral courage to look for an answer that your leftist self might not want to report.
Ooh, that's a shot.
And then he said reason number three, what I find especially hilarious about Todd's admission is that Biden's mental collapse was blatantly obvious to anyone who saw him in action for more than 30 seconds. So the idea these useless and corrupt people who claim to be reporters want us to believe their sources convince them to ignore their lying eyes and ears is laughable. Only an idiot would believe that. Chuck Todd apparently thinks we're idiots. And, of course, we're still being lied to. The regime media, we're not fooled by their sources. The regime media, we're not falsely reassured by their sources. The regime media all knew Biden was unfit to be president, much less capable of serving a second term. But since the regime media are all far-left activists, they actively cooperated in the conspiracy, hoping they could get Biden over the finish line to forever vanquish Donald Trump. The corporate media are evil, dishonest, and would back their Prius over their own mothers if it would further the cause. But they are not stupid. They are not as smart as they think they are, but they're not stupid. They knew that Biden's brain was jello. Of course they knew. Anything with eyes and ears did, but here we are.
Well, if we could see it on TV and in the little clips that we saw or the rare interview or whatever, these people are around them all the time. They're on Air Force One. They're traveling around the country. I mean, no, we're not buying it. You didn't see it, didn't notice.
You know, journalism, give the facts and try to tell the truth. And that's one of the reasons why you have to have corroborating sources, or at least you should. But that kind of media, if it exists, it exists in tiny little pockets here and there. And I've seen it unfold before my eyes and during our lifetime for sure. All right. Well, we've got our special guest coming up, State Senator Jay Collins. Hang in there. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.